Royal Credit Union Smart Checking Accounts offer no monthly fees and no minimum balance. Make the switch to a Royal Checking Account and you'll also get real-time transaction alerts, free mobile check deposits, and surcharge-free access to over 40,000 ATMs across the U.S. Enjoy financial freedom with no minimum balance and no monthly fees when you switch to Royal Smart Checking Account. Learn more and open your Royal Credit Union Smart Checking Account online at rcu.org/gochecking. Insured by NCUA.
Let's meet Jake Lucchini. The former Michigan Tech Husky and current mainstay on the Minnesota Wild third line joins us to talk spaghetti, haircuts and dress code, and his brother's jersey request. Plus, I take a look at the Wild week ahead while also figuring out, can Minnesota actually maybe kinda sorta really make the NHL playoffs? As always, we're created by New Voice Studios, brought to you by SodaStick, presented by Talk North, Grain Belt, Royal Credit Union, Jim Beam, and Livia. This is Season 5, Episode 220. New drop alert! The Minnesota Wild celebrate and honor Marc-Andre Fleury's 1,000th game, and you can get in on the memorabilia action with an all-new exclusive SodaStick and Hockey Lodge t-shirt and hat drop. Grab your piece of history with a one-of-a-kind hat or tee that commemorates one of the greatest attendees in Wild and NHL history. Don't miss out on this fantastic collaboration between SodaStick and the Hockey Lodge.
At Jim Beam, they know the importance of tradition. Like chanting, "Let's play hockey," prior to the start of each game, or playing the State of Hockey anthem after a Wild win. This season, raise one to your fan family with the bourbon that invites us all to come as friends and leave as family. Jim Beam Bourbon Whiskey, the official bourbon whiskey partner of the Minnesota Wild and XL Energy Center. Drink smart. Jim Beam Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. 40% alcohol by volume. Copyright 2021. James B. Beam Distilling Company, Incorporated, Claremont, Kentucky.
Hello, everybody. What's up? Bar Down Beauties, episode 220. I'm Jesse Pierce, writer for NHL.com. She's Kirsten Kroll, the face of the Minnesota Wild, and joining us, another face of the Minnesota Wild that we don't get to chat with too often, Mr. Jake Lucchini. Jake, what's going on, buddy? Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, no, not a whole lot. Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it. I'm excited.
You know, this is a man taking time on his day off. Practice is canceled. So round of applause extra for Jake. We appreciate you, friend.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You said you're relaxing on your day off. What does that entail? Like, when you get a free day to do nothing, do you genuinely do nothing? Or, like, do you find just some things you like to do around the city to have fun?
Yeah, usually I'm staying right by, I don't know if you guys are familiar with, like, Hope Breakfast.
Yes. Yeah.
But it is phenomenal. So usually every day off, I'm usually there. I got to sleep in a little bit today, which is always nice on a day off. Take a little bit of time to sleep in. But no, for me, just kind of try to get some stuff done, little things done. I don't have a lot of clothes here, so I like to do laundry every single but yeah, no, get outside, go on a walk. I actually know quite a few people from Minnesota. Just being going to school in Michigan, we had a lot of people from Minnesota. So like today I'm going for coffee with an old teammate I haven't seen in a while. So just kind of little things, try to get outside as much as I can. And obviously Becky's here too, so him and I spend a decent amount of time together for days off.
Quick follow-up question too. You mentioned you didn't bring many clothes up. Did you bring more t-shirts at least than Jake Middleton did when he came to Minnesota originally?
That's a good question, because like the last time I got called up, we were in Henderson, which was Vegas, and I got called right before we were flying back to Des Moines, and our flight got in at like 9:30. So it was like off the plane to my place in Des Moines, packed like a small bag, and literally right away. So, like, I have not a lot of clothes, so I'm trying to do as much laundry as I can. But to your question, I don't know how many shirts he had, but I don't have too many myself.
I think he had like 3 or 4, like legit maybe 5 at most, because he was
all
like
gray.
And they were, yeah, gray, white, and maybe a black one. He's like, just to be fancy once in a while, which is so midsy, right? Like, it just makes sense.
Yeah, that's true. I have a few more than that. but like, for example, I brought one suit and I'm like, I need to buy a suit. Like, I can't just wear the same suit every single game. So I went to the mall a couple weeks ago and I just tried to get, like, I was going around store to store and there was nice suits, but I needed one like that I could literally take off the rack and bring home instead of getting tailored and stuff. So I had to go buy a suit, for example. But no, it's funny.
Well, the suit game's important now too, with the walk-ins and the style rankings. How do you feel you're doing with your style game? Who's the best on the team and who's the worst on the team? Of course, we have some answers of our own, but I want to get your take.
So for me, I'm not much of a style guy. I'm very simple. the suit I brought was like black. It's just like a simple black suit, which is fine. But yeah, a lot of things you see now, guys are wearing, you know, a lot of different suits, and they're obviously super cool. But best guy on the team, JoJo's got some good style. He wears a lot of nice things. I don't know, not stylish guy on the team. That's honestly, I'm not really sure. Like, I feel like from being here, you have guys who wear like this, not the same suit, but you kind of notice that they have maybe one or two of them. And then you get, you know, the guys like JoJo or the guys who've been around for a little longer. Fleury's got great style. You never see him wear the same suit. And if you see them wearing the same suit, it's like, I don't know, maybe once every 10, 15 games, it's like, oh, okay, I kind of recognize that. But like, hey, I'm wearing the same suit, one of two suits kind of every single day. And I mean, they're a lot different. So I think last night I wore the one that I just bought and someone's like, oh, new suit. Cause it's like, I wear.
Well, Jake, Fleury, you can say Joel Eriksson-Ek has the worst style on the team. Yeah. He's been chirped before.
Is that what guys are saying?
Yeah. I believe one of them last year had said that when we had someone on. I forget who, but his name was dropped.
Mm-hmm. It's hard because I haven't been here for like a full year. So it's like I haven't gotten that. I don't really know, to be honest. It's just hard for me to. I can't throw someone under the bus when I don't know.
Fair. Well, now you're going to be paying more attention. You're going to be at the game. You'll be like, all right, taking notes. You can help us analyze. You know, Fleury rotates his suits a little bit. Like, you know, his superstitions, right? Every goalie has them, but Fleury's is so bad. He's told me that he's like, if there was a bad game or a really bad loss, it goes to the very back of the closet and he probably never wears it again because he just believes that juju is on everything. And if it's a good suit where he's had a really good game in, then he keeps it kind of in this continuous rotation. That's a Fleury thing.
I wish I had like as many suits as him, because I would probably do something like that. But I,
you know, speaking of style, I did catch a glimpse of your Michigan Tech headshot, and the hair was a little bit different. Why did we decide to chop off the mane and go with the classy, you know, shorter look? Or do you miss the locks? Are you going to grow them back at any point?
I do miss it sometimes. So when I was a kid, I always I don't know why, I always just grew my hair out for hockey season, and then I would just cut it maybe a few times in the summer, but I would just grow my hair out. And then when I got to college, my aunt's a hairdresser. So my haircut, I mean, it's probably not great, but my haircut routine would be, I'd get a haircut when I got home in the summer from college. I'd get a haircut when I left in September. And then when I came home for Christmas, I would get a haircut. So I would just grow my hair out. My roommate and I, my college year, we only had one. Well, there was two of us or three of us in the class, actually four, but there was only two of us that were I was only with one guy for all 4 years. The other two guys were fifth years. So my roommate and I decided that for our junior year, we decided for our senior pictures, we were just going to grow our hair out for fun. Just something that I don't know why. That's why. It was that long. I think it was a year and a half almost. And I don't know if you see, but I had missing teeth too. It was just,
yeah, it was a whole look. I had to be is this him? I just, from what I've seen in the locker room, this can't be. And I'm just so intrigued. It's a night and day image.
I know. Yeah. I would like to grow it back. My dad doesn't have any hair. My grandfather. So it's kind of one of those things where it's grow it while you have it. Cause I'm going to look at it. But yeah, I don't know. I'm getting married this summer, so I can't be growing it out too far, too long right now. But no, it's something I think about doing because it is nice. I had it long last year too, but not even close to as long as that. But maybe 1 year, I'll just let it go.
Well, first, congratulations on engagement, getting married this summer. Also, you mentioned headshot, didn't have teeth. You must have a good orthodontist or dentist then, because it looks like you got a full set right now.
I got it all fixed, which is nice, because it was it was like a 4 year, I wouldn't say four, probably 2.5-3 year process. Growing up, I never had braces. And then I got my 3 front teeth knocked out and I needed braces. I don't know exactly what the terminology would be, but like to bring my roots down or something like that. Two missing teeth with braces and then a wire across the, it was a tough look, but it's funny. I met my fiance, it was my senior year of college, and that's when I had the braces, and I didn't look good. It was look, but I mean, I don't know how she stayed around, but no, it's kind of a funny story.
That's true love right there.
Yeah. She's a keeper. Although I think Mizzy's wife said that she also likes the mustache. She doesn't like it without the mustache, but that also is because it covers his missing teeth. She's not a big fan of the missing teeth, but the mustache helps hide that.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good point.
Well, Jake, we had Grace on for this week's episode. I did not do my due diligence, and people in the comments took notice. I did not do my due diligence in asking the same question I ask every single week. So here it is to you right now. What are your thoughts on Taylor Swift?
I like Taylor Swift. I've always liked her music. Just like some of her songs are so like poppy and just kind of, I kind of like that stuff. It's my favorite. But I do like a lot of her songs. And then I think it's cool with the whole Travis Kelce thing. Like I'm a big Travis Kelce guy and Jason Kelce, they're like their podcast there, they're cool family. And, it's just kind of one of those things where it just brings more, you know, publicity or whatever it may be. And just kind of an athlete and a superstar kind of getting together. I think it's cool. And, I like her music. I don't follow her a ton. I've never seen her live or anything, but yeah, like I said, I don't mind. I like her. I like the music.
You passed the test. Solid answer.
Which song would be your goal song if you were to pick one?
Goal song.
Has to be a Taylor Swift goal song. Which era? Ooh. That's a new one.
Like when I was a kid, like I remember when I was in probably elementary school and like beginning of high school, like Love Story was out and those things.
Yes.
I used to love that. Those songs. Probably when I was a kid, like that age, I probably wouldn't tell a lot of people that just because it's just like, I don't know, like that's one of my love story. But I like 22. There's some, like I see a lot of them where they're like techno remixes. Like a lot of like people are starting to do that. She's getting popular. Well, like not that she was before, but she's like, they're playing more like pop or like club, like mixing it with club music. Mm-hmm. And those remixes are actually quite good.
That could be so fun.
Love Story, add it to the wedding playlist. Also, suggestion from me to you, Lover. It sounds like you're in your Lover era, getting married. Yeah. So if you need any other wedding songs, there's a lot of hits on there to take into your consideration. So,
we're going to have a couple of Taylor Swift songs on the playlist. Love Story probably will be one of them. There's one like remix, it's Love Story, and it's like a techno one. It's really good, actually.
So maybe we'll have to look into that.
Like that. If you can't tell, Kirsten is our resident Swifty on this podcast. Just so you know, just heads up. Some would say my professional title is Minnesota Wild in arena host. I say Minnesota Wild entertainment correspondent because this is what I do. Hence why Brock thinks I'm crazy. This was the type of stuff I was asking him. So,
Minnesota in the last like couple of years.
What was that?
Has she been to Minnesota? She played a show here in the last couple of years.
Well, I'm so glad you asked, Jake. She did over the summer, her Eras tour. I was there night two. It was the best night of my life. I peaked then, and nothing has been the same since.
Was it at the football stadium? I'm drawing a blank.
US Bank? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
it was fantastic.
I bet.
Speaking of goals, how hard are you going to sell the next goal that you score because it'll hopefully count? Because you kind of had some bad luck as of late with these recalls. Do some of the fellas owe you a little extra for being offsides or goalie interference, for instance, last night? How frustrating is that? How kind of funny is it, too?
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, when I scored last night, it was one of those things where I kind of figured maybe it was goalie interference. So I put my hands up and I looked around, what the ref was doing, but it's kind of funny because so I scored in Chicago and I didn't know it went, like I didn't celebrate because I didn't know it went in, and then the one in Arizona, I celebrated but it didn't count, so it's just two opposites. And then obviously last night was just kind of one of those ones where it was, I didn't really know, but yeah, I mean, hopefully I'll catch a break sometime and it'll come. I'll just keep trying my best and hopefully won't count.
Hey, it happens to the best of them. Marco Rossi had his fair share. I think it was to start the year. There was like two that got waved off and then he picked it up from there. So your time is due.
I hope so. Hope so.
Well, and it doesn't matter how you score. I think Foligno's first one in Minnesota was off his butt. I feel like there's been a lot of pucks off butts for Minnesota Wild players as their first goal with Minnesota. Not that it'd be your first, but, you know, if they don't ask how, just how many, right?
I know. And it's funny because last night we had like maybe a little bit of a 3-on-2 and Vinny shot it from the point and it hit me in the butt and it almost went in. Like the goalie didn't even see it, hit me. And then was like going in, it just hit his pad. It was just like one of those things where his pad was just sitting there and it hit it. And the whole net was like open, but it was, yeah, it was funny.
It's giving like Philadelphia Eagles, how they have the brotherly shove, except Minnesota Wild. It's like shoot a puck off somebody and hope it rebounds off their butt. I don't know.
At that point, like I might as well just try to do that. Try to get something to go in. Cause it's, yeah, I'm not. They're getting disallowed, so maybe I'll just stand in front of the net and hopefully one hits me and goes in.
That's what I do. If I could recommend any hockey play to you as a non-player myself, just cherry pick and stand there. It seems to work well. I had a hat trick on my first debut of hockey. It was great.
Nice.
And I'm also going to keep her humble here. She also went in net and like first time in net, like blew out her knee. So
my knee. And this was just like a month ago. If you ever see me hobbling in the locker room, that's why. It still hurts. I apologized immediately to Flower and Gus for ever being critical of them because that's not an easy thing to do is to be a hockey goalie. Apparently.
I can imagine. Maybe when I was a little kid, I've never put a pair of pads on and I don't think I ever will.
I had enough liquid courage from throughout the course of the day that I was like, this seems like a good idea. And what Kirsten's forgetting to mention, I did make the toe save. I kicked it up high enough and I made the save. I got scored on like 10 runs.
Mentioning all of your highlights, somebody has to keep you humble and that is my job. So I'm happy to bring you back down to reality to really just balance things out. So
That's true. See, this is what we do on this podcast, Jake. You had mentioned Vinny. John Hines has been so complimentary of your line. How has that chemistry worked? I know, especially you two as a pair, because you certainly have had some other players in and out now with injuries and whatnot and recalls and trades. But especially with Vinny, how has that been? It's kind of like the Italian line, I think fans are calling it, right? Because you've got Letteri and Lucchini and a little something there.
Yeah, it's been good. Obviously, I didn't know Vinny before this year, but being in Iowa, we played together. I mean, he hasn't spent a lot of time there, but like probably played together for 3 or 4 games. So then coming here with him, we've kind of had like a little bit of chemistry. I think we play similar. You know, we know our roles, obviously try to create offense, but, you know, take care of our own end and play, you know, a really good defensive game. But he's really smart player. He's really good. He works hard. And that's kind of why I think things are kind of going well for us is, you know, we play a similar game where, you know, we just ultimately just try to, you know, outwork teams, create, you know, turnovers, and then kind of let our skill take over when the opportunity kind of presents itself. But, yeah, like you said, there's been a lot of different guys. Obviously we've been with Shazi for the past maybe 5 or 6 games, but, you know, I think we had a couple games with Freddie, played with Marco a little bit. And then obviously when, Dewar was here, he was with us too, but, no, it's been good. And, yeah, just like I said, I think, you know, we just kind of complement each other cause we play a similar game.
This came to my mind when we were talking about Italians. This is kind of what my Twitter feed is as well. So forgive me for the randomness, but somebody last week, I was like on a deep dive, just doing whatever. Somebody took the time to make an entire thread of NHL players they thought would be good at making spaghetti, players they would trust, and they literally ranked them. So there was like pasta from Boston, whatnot. People that they wouldn't, like Adam Fantilli, they were like, I don't trust him and his air fryer. So where would you rank on that list? Like, do you think you would be, how's your pasta cooking skills?
Not bad. I really enjoy cooking. I don't know where I'd rank because I know guys like, I'm pretty sure Vinny's like a big, I know Vinny likes, loves to cook, but I think he would be high up there. But I don't know where I'd rank. But I know that, like, you know, for me, like, I love, like, every pregame in Des Moines, I cook, I make pasta, and then I make, like, a chicken parm. Just, like, my dad always did it. We always did it. Like, he would always make it for us. So that's kind of my game day ritual is every single game day in Des Moines, I'll make, like, chicken parmesan, and then I'll have just, like, pasta and sauce or whatnot. But I'd like to think I'd be in the top half. Cause I do like to cook. But I mean, I don't know. Tough. I'm sure there's a lot of good Italians that are good cooks out there.
I think you'd probably best a lot of the guys in the room though. Cause I know Faber said he never cooks. Bolds doesn't really cook, right? A lot of the younger guys are still on that end of the spectrum where they're not cooking too much.
I would definitely not trust those two you just named just based on the vibes.
True.
I think, you know, going to college and then like, my dad always cooked. My mom likes to cook. It's just like one of those things where it's like something throughout my day where I kind of look for it. Like I rarely eat out. I mean, now being in the hotel, I eat out all the time, which is unfortunate. but like when I have a place and stuff like that, cooking's great. I love it. It's fun. It burns time for me. So it's good.
I feel like I would trust you based on just how you pronounce pasta, calling it pasta. Like it's just, it's authentic. It's genuine. So that alone, I'd put you in the top half.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that.
Well, you mentioned Vinny too. You know, his family has like, you don't call it a food truck. Maybe it's like a food truck, but at the state fair, they have their whole spiel. Have you heard that? Or
I saw a video of it, in the summer. I didn't watch about it. I didn't watch the full video, but I did see something about it. I'll have to ask him about it. Cause that's cool. That's really interesting.
It's nummy. I go there pretty much every year back. It's at the state fair. You'll have to come back for the state fair. Cause I'm sure you're going to go home. Where's the wedding in Canada? Is fiance from
Wisconsin. So we met school, in Michigan. And then, she's from a little town, Little Chute, Wisconsin. It's about, it's kind of Appleton, area, 20 minutes from Green Bay. But yeah, we're getting married in Madison. That's kind of where our home base is.
Oh, nice. We'll see. That'll be pretty. We'll allow it. As Minnesotans, I guess, we'll allow it. It is what it is. you know, in general for the season, since we'll talk a little bit of hockey too for the fans out there, how has it been for you from a player's perspective? I know from the outside, whether it's media or fans, it's been a roller coaster. A lot of inconsistency, a lot of up and downs, certainly no lack of excitement. What's it like for a player, especially when you did get recalled and now you've really found your way onto this team with a pretty important role?
Yeah, it's been a really good year. You know, for me personally, I think, you know, spending some time in Des Moines and then being up here for, you know, I'd say I've been here for just over a month probably, but, you know, for the last 3 months, I've been, you know, most of my time here, but it's been, like you said, a roller coaster. I think for us, you know, I think we know how good of a team we have. You know, we're capable of beating kind of anybody in the league. We kind of proved that. But I think for us, it's just, you know, right now we're on a bit of a run, and I think just continue to grow, you know, as a team. And I think, you know, I know we're kind of on the outside looking in right now, you know, with points wise, but I think we feel like we're in a pretty good spot with how we're playing. And I think if we just continue to kind of push, you know, anything can really happen. I know the belief in the locker room is that we, you know, believe and know that we can give ourselves a chance to, you know, get in the playoffs. And, you know, anything can really happen too. You know, you see like teams like, I don't know this 100%, but I think, you know, Detroit was, you know, 6-7 points in the playoffs a couple weeks ago. And now I think, you know, I think the Islanders kind of made a push. So just kind of proves that, you know, anything can happen. You know, if you put, you know, a stretch of games together to, you know, to get back in the mix and, you know, we feel like we're there. But just, you know, put a couple, you know, 6-7 game stretch together where you kind of, you know, play well and get some points. I think you kind of put yourself right back in there. And whenever we just kind of continue to, you know, grow and try to make a push and, you know, like I said, the belief is that, you know, we can get in, and we just got to continue to, keep playing well.
And I want to ask about this because it's still fairly recent and it seems like it's a game that Wild fans aren't going to forget about anytime soon. The game against Nashville, it's overtime. John Hines pulls Fleury from the net, pulls out the other man. Just getting that win when Boldy scored, what was it like to be a player down on the ice on the bench when that happened?
It was cool. It was like, it's kind of hard to explain. Like, it's one of those things where if you really think about it, like, it's a good idea, right? Like, free, you don't really, when you're the team that's has four, it's like, you know, the other team doesn't really touch the puck a lot. But then it's kind of one of those things where it's like, it's, you know, they just shoot it down and it can go in. But it was cool. I mean, when Bold scored, I was blown away. It was one of those things where it's like, holy, that was crazy. It was funny because when we pulled them, I was kind of like, you know, obviously watching the play and stuff, but you hear the crowd and everyone was kind of, it wasn't like a cheer. It wasn't like a boo. It was just, everyone was like, like no one knew. But it was cool. I mean, you put those four guys on the ice, you know, in a 4-on-3 situation, you got to kind of figure something good's going to happen. They're unbelievable, but no, it was crazy. Obviously never been a part of something like that, but it was cool.
Did you know the rule? Like Heinze said, he preferred that most of you guys didn't know the rule because then would have been maybe a little bit more hesitation. Although he said guys like Zouk and Hartsey were like, let's go, let's get it. They wanted to pull Flower like right away into the overtime. He's like, no, there's a strategy to this. But did you know you guys could have forfeited the point if Nashville scored?
No, I had no idea. It was, I honestly didn't believe the rule after. I'm like, that makes no sense. There's no way that's the rule. That when you go into overtime, you automatically get a point. Like that's just how. And then guys are like, no, like if they score, you don't get a point. I'm like, mm-hmm.
Well, and then it makes sense, right? Because then why wouldn't you just pull your goalie and be on the power play, right? Like you're kind of thinking it that way. And then what was the other thing that Heinze had said? He was like, you want to not, plus you want to make sure that they don't have their PKers out there, right? Like you don't want Ryan O'Reilly, McDonough out there at the same time. But then there was the other element where I think Fleury would have had to stay off too in some instances. So you would have still had to, it's a whole another element too. Like it's crazy. I had to now read the real rule book. Like I've been covering the league for 8 years and I'm like, I now have to read the rule book. I had no idea.
I think Nashville was kind of like, they didn't know what to do. Cause like, you know, you going to 4-on-3, you probably want two defensemen out there. But in overtime, you never put two defensemen on the ice. No, so forwards and one defenseman. So it was kind of like, it was interesting to see kind of how they were like, I kind of looked over at their bench and like, they didn't really know what they put like guys who maybe don't play on overtime, but would kill a penalty 4-on-3. And then it's like, you know, who do they like put on the ice? Their penalty killers or maybe their top players that wouldn't play on the penalty kill. So it was an interesting dynamic, but it was unbelievable. It was cool. It was.
Do it again, but like, don't do it again. I hate overtime games. I have to rewrite my story. There's no consideration for me in the press box. Little rude, Jake. Little rude. So you said Minnesota Wild playoffs. Think it's achievable. I mean, your schedule coming up ahead. I mean, any given night, right? It's just focusing on one game at a time. But you guys have to do a lot of winning to close out the regular season. How's the room feeling? I know being in there last night, it seems like you guys all have the right mindset you guys have had all season, but feeling pretty confident that is an achievable and attainable goal for you guys?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, a big thing is we play a lot of teams. Like, you know, we play LA. I think we play St. Louis two or three times in the next little bit. So we're playing teams in our division that we need to catch. I think we have Vegas once or twice more. So I think, you know, we definitely believe that we can do it. I think we're playing like we can do it. You know, I think obviously with the trade deadline and stuff like that, you know, things are kind of up in the air, but I think after the fact, you know, we've done a really good job of kind of putting that behind us and just kind of, you know, trying to achieve, you know, that goal of, you know, making the playoffs. And we're playing good hockey right now and, you know, just continue to try to, you know, grow our game. And yeah, just make that late push and try to string a bunch of wins together and just kind of see where everything falls.
And you're a young guy. What's it been like to play with Marc-Andre Fleury?
It's cool. Really cool. It's, you know, for me, like looking back about like even last year, like with Ottawa, it's just kind of like you play with guys like Claude Giroux, who's, I mean, still a really cool player, but just like little things like that where you can look back and be like, oh, I played with him, is cool. He's such a good guy. You know, he's such a good teammate. I bought a Fleury jersey and got him to sign it for me. Cause it's just like one of those things where I would beat myself up, you know, later in my life if I didn't do that. It was funny. My brother texted me, this was probably like a month ago, and he asked for a jersey, And I'm like, yeah, no problem. Like, I'll get your jersey, like, whatever. Expecting him to want, like, a Lucchini 27.
Yours, yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, no problem. I'll get your jersey. Like, yeah. And he goes, can you get a Fleury jersey? Not, I don't want I'll take a Fleury jersey. And I'm like, it's just like, it doesn't bother me at all, but it's just kind of funny how it just, I was like, yeah, no problem. I'll get your jersey. And he's like, I want Fleury.
That's incredible. I love that move. That's what I would do to my brothers too. Actually, my brothers do chirp me on that way. They're like, no, can you do this? Well, we don't need you to do it. I'm like, well, you do. I have the access. You don't have this access. Who are you? Like, it's just, it's too fun. Final question before we let you go, Jake, and enjoy the rest of your day off. I heard you're a golfer, and Kirsten and I are in the midst of rallying up our golf teams for all the tournaments that we're playing in this year. So far, we've got Bolds, we've got Faber, we've got Grace Zumwinkel, Kelly Panic, Taylor Heise. They're all on the hook. Would you like to be a part of our golf team? Kirsten and I bring the vibes mostly.
And the beer.
And the beer. Mostly the beer and the vibes. Once in a while, we can contribute a drive, but we're also going to leave that to Grace and Kelly Panic. Do you want to be a part of this?
I can be a part of your golf team, yes. I don't have my clubs here, but eventually I'll get them here. And
Perfect. We're locking and loading a really good-looking squad for some of these tournaments.
Well, I've never played golf with Bolts, but I heard he's quite a player.
He got to golf in the Canadian Open. He was an exemption this year, and we got to follow him around. Although it was kind of funny, no offense to him, he realized very quickly that he will not be a professional golfer and how different it is.
I think that's okay, because he's got a pretty good gig going right now.
Well, that's what I joked with him and Billy at the start of the season, because it was like right as preseason was getting going in camp. And I'm like, what happens if he makes the cut? Like, do you let him continue on and like keep going? Or like, what do we do? And then after the first date, it was pretty evident that that probably wasn't going to be a concern anymore, but it was still a pretty cool experience. I heard Hartsey is just as good, if not better, than Bolds.
I didn't know that. I haven't golfed with a lot of guys on the team, actually. I golf with a few guys in Des Moines, but not with Minnesota. So I think we're going to go golfing sometime soon, I think. So I'll have to see. I'll have to report back with who are the players.
I mean, definitely let us know, because there's a certain threshold, like your handicap has to be just right. We have to make sure we're recruiting the best players. It's a cutthroat league out there.
Meanwhile, I'm just out here saying bring people who are good for the vibes.
Yeah.
that's all I care about.
Yeah.
Better golf, the players of the, or yeah, the golf players. You want better vibes, right?
Yes, exactly. She's
mainly just
Gilmore.
To hang out with me, because I'm the type of person that I take too long because I keep missing the ball. And then they're just like, just pick up your ball and drop it where all of us are at, please. Yeah,
that's the way to do it. My fiance doesn't golf much, but she'll go come with me once in a while. And that's what she does. She'll just like swing once, hit it, pick it up, bring it over, drop it where mine is, hit it again, just to kind of get out and have fun.
There you go.
Well, she's invited too. She can hang out with me, and we'll have a good time.
Awesome. Yeah, that's perfect. Exactly.
Well, Jake, thank you so much. It was so great to finally get to know you, catch up a little bit, and best of luck the rest of the way here.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey guys, Jesse Pierce here for Livia Weight Control Centers. Who is ready to spring into the warm weather? It's been beautiful outside. I know I've been enjoying it. Hopefully you have too, and it's only going to get better. Spring ready the Livia way and lose up to 10 pounds in your first 2 weeks. When you join Livia, you'll receive a personalized and doctor-recommended program tailored to your unique goals and lifestyle. Livia's amazing team of registered dietitians and nutritionists will guide you every step of the way, providing you with the tools, support, and motivation that you need to succeed. If you join Livia today, you can get 3 months absolutely free. I've started my journey a couple months ago, and I have loved it. And you know what? There's a new option that you can also include with your nutritional program, and that's Livia Medical. I've been on Livia Medical for the past 2 weeks to help me break down those biological barriers that can make losing weight so hard. It's helped accelerate my weight loss. I have lost 4 pounds in just 2 weeks with the added Livia Medical to my nutritional program. It works for me. It certainly can work for you. Don't forget to get Livia a call at 855-GO-LIVIA or visit Livia.com. Again, first 3 months, absolutely free. Let them know Jesse Pierce and the Bar Down Beauty sent you. Thank you to Jake Lucchini and Aaron Sickman, Jackson Rybel, and Dylan Daniel for their help in assisting and getting us him. Super fun guy. Great to get to know him. Excited to see what he continues to do here with the Minnesota Wild. Kirsten is on vacation. Yes, we're jealous. She's actually going to be catching a Minnesota Wild game in California. So good for her. So I'm solo. I'm flying solo just for this little bit. We had enough of a good conversation with Drake that I'm not going to do too much, but I'm going to get an updated look at your Minnesota Wild to close this week's episode out for you, if you don't mind. First things first, Marc-Andre Fleury, you guys, named the NHL's third star of the week after he helps the Wild go 2-0-1 in their stretch, which, just so we know, was an accurate prediction by yours truly, to a T. I said they would lose in overtime to St. Louis, and we all know how much I love being right. So, Marc-Andre Fleury, he's your number one goaltender. There is no question. He went 0.97 goals against average, 0.961 save percentage, and one shutout in those three games. So he's it. He's everything. I'm sure Philip Gustafson's in his own head a little bit about it. And as we've discussed before on previous episodes, I think you take a real good hard look at that contract and figure out, especially depending on what Marc-Andre Fleury wants to do. So congrats to him. You love to see him shining and really stepping up. And it does seem like Marc-Andre Fleury hits the stride. You know, I asked him after that Anaheim game the other night in St. Paul. I said, how do you tackle this situation? You're not only playing more games, which of course he loves, right? But you're also in this position that usually he's not found himself in. He's usually playoff bound. He usually kind of has a good idea. And he said, you know, it's actually kind of fun fighting for your spot. It makes you feel a little bit more reliable. You know, he said he wants to be the guy that helps them win the games. And certainly he's been doing just that. So another round of applause for my number one goaltender, Marc-Andre Fleury. We love to see that. In general, Minnesota still in that playoff push. They are now just 5 points back from Vegas for that second wild card. Vegas does have one game in hand, and it's going to be another kind of maybe kind of week. It is back-to-back in California, as I'd mentioned, LA Kings and Anaheim starting Tuesday, Wednesday, and then they come back home for a matinee 1 o'clock puck drop in St. Paul against the St. Louis Blues. Now, the concern, and it's been the overall concern all freaking season long, you guys, is the way that Minnesota plays against Central Division opponents. 8-11-2 versus the Central this year, and you've got four more versus Central Division opponents, two Colorado games, one against Winnipeg, and another one against St. Louis, as I mentioned Saturday. And then you're closing out basically the season with the West. They are 19-16-2 against Western teams. So again, not that great. So it sucks, right? It's going to be. They are playing teams that they are chasing. They are playing teams that are in better positions than them coming up to close out the year, minus Anaheim and San Jose. So you get some of those, I think Seattle as well, to wrap things up, and obviously Ottawa. But it's going to be tough. This week alone, I think Minnesota goes 1-0-2. I'm giving them 2 points. I'm giving them those OTLs, probably to LA and probably to St. Louis. They're going to get a victory against Anaheim in Anaheim, but I think it's 1-0-2. I hope they prove me wrong. But again, in addition to the struggles that I watch them make against Central Division opponents, games that matter, games that they need to show up a full 64, they don't. We saw it again in St. Louis on Saturday. Like, great, you got a point. Great, you get to the shootout. Freddie Gaudreau, we have to change your name from Freddie Shootout to Freddie Do Nothing. I'm sorry. I know I can't, got people came at me on Twitter for calling him out when nobody really showed up that game, but also, come on, Fred. Like, it's just been a bad down and out year for him. But, you know, there is truth to that. Nobody showed up in that game against St. Louis. And they did this again in a must win against Nashville. They've done it numerous times this year where they put themselves in a good position heading into those road games. And maybe they can do it. Look at, they're hot. They've been heating up, and they kind of come out flat and they blow a tire or they blow a lead. Like, it's just, it's so frustrating, the level of inconsistencies and the mental mindset that they're kind of, it's kind of a mental mind F, if you will, right? Because you're like, all right, we're feeling good. And yes, they have points in point streak extended, but you need two. Again, you need two, and you need two against your St. Louis's. You need two against your Colorado's, your Winnipeg's. You need these freaking points. Like, I don't know. I'm going to have to go in. I'm going to have to give a pregame locker room speech at some point in time here, because that just might be what it takes. Obviously, they're forgetting that they need to go and win these games. You need to basically win out. Again, the prediction would be that Vegas finishes somewhere around 89 points. Minnesota currently sitting at 74. They still got some work to do. 68 games in their pocket as of today, Monday. Again, kicking off a three-game stud here coming up. So, woo! That's going to do it. Like I said, short, sweet. Minnesota, they're going to get 3 points. Just, it's going to be kind of ugly. We'll see. Hopefully they can change my mind. Let us know what you think. Let us know what you think about Jake Lucchini, if there are any questions you want to ask him. We are also obviously on the cooking train, the golf train, all of those things, because the season might be over sooner than later, and we still need things to talk about. So let us know. Drop your comments. As always, subscribe, share, like, and rate. On behalf of Kirsten and Fred, thank you very much for listening. You guys are the best. Mwah. See you later this week. Go wild. Bye. Near, 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 near.